Let us commence our service by singing together hymn number 352. The moon and stars shall lose their light, the sun shall sink in endless night, both heaven and earth shall pass away, the works of nature all decay. Hymn 352. Read together from the Holy Word of God in the Gospel according to Mark and chapter 13. Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. For whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then, if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophet shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily, I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word, grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we do desire now to bow before thee, the only true God. We desire to worship thee. We desire to serve thee. We desire to draw near to thee. Lord, we are unholy. We're unclean. We're unrighteous. Sin lives in us. But may we not live in sin, but may we live to him that died. We're very conscious, O Lord, of a corrupt and sinful nature. We often have to cry with the dear apostle, O wretched man, that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. Great God, we do pray that thou wouldst impress upon our hearts and minds this evening hour of thy holy day, the brevity of life, the solemnity of death. Oh, do hear us in heaven, thy holy dwelling place. Holy, blessed, divine Spirit of truth, that we pray for thy heavenly power. Oh, we think of the church at Thessalonica, and the apostle himself could say, for our gospel came unto you, not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. And we pray this evening hour, it may be so, that we may receive the word in power, that it may be sealed into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive. O Lord, this is all in thy power alone. Thou art able to give these things, and we pray that thou wouldst grant them unto us, unto each one that has gathered here tonight, from the youngest unto the eldest, that the word of truth may be opened, and that the power of it may be known and found. We think, O Lord, of the dear apostle, after he had been in the way many years, that when he said, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, help us to press on and to press forward. Help us to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Help us to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is now set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh, we thank thee for that glorious Redeemer. We thank thee for the finished work of Christ. We thank thee for the incarnation of the Son of God and for the holy sinless life he lived as a man under the law, fulfilling and honouring and magnifying the holy and the righteous law of God. Oh, we do bless thee that the law has been fulfilled and honoured and magnified in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that everlasting righteousness has been brought in. We thank thee that in that glorious sacrifice of the life of Jesus Christ, the shedding of his precious blood, in that dear Redeemer, there is salvation, there is redemption. Oh, most gracious Lord, a door of hope is opened wide in Jesus' bleeding hands and side. Oh, we think of that wonderful and precious word, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, to feel the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. And oh, to be clothed upon with the glorious everlasting righteousness of Jesus Christ that will cover our nakedness and our shame. O Lord, we do pray for thankful hearts that dear Saviour has risen from the grave, has swallowed up death in victory, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We do thank thee that he has bodily ascended into heaven. He sitteth at thy right hand, and we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We bless thee for the glory of his name, the wonder of his grace, the fullness of his salvation. O Lord, we do pray that this evening hour thou wouldst come and open the word of God. Come and bless this people. Come and open the word to each one of our hearts. Come and open our ears and our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things in thy law. Come, most gracious Lord, and bless us together. We pray for thy dear servant who labours here continually, that he may dip his foot in oil, that he may be made acceptable unto the brethren, that the word preached may be in power in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance, that precious souls may be gathered in, that sinners may be converted unto thee, that the strongholds of Satan may be pulled down, that the kingdom of our Lord Jesus may be set up in the hearts of sinners. Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. We do humbly beseech thee, encourage thy servant, strengthen him, help him continually. We do humbly beseech thee, bless him and his. We pray, dear Lord, that thy blessing may rest upon them as a church, that they may know that unity and love and communion and union in the gospel. This flows alone from thy Spirit, and Lord, grant it unto them, that their hearts may be knit together in love. We pray, most gracious Lord, for the young of the flock, for the little ones and the children, that thou wouldst have mercy upon them, that thou wouldst bless them with the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, that thou wouldst guide them into thy truth and open their hearts to receive thy word. For out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. We pray for the young friends as they stand upon the threshold of life's journey. We pray that thou wouldst go before them. But above all, O Lord, there is one thing that is needful, that they may be called by divine grace, that they may be brought to living, saving faith in Jesus Christ, that they may become true followers of thee and of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Lord, so bless the young and rising generation. Go before them in each untrodden step in providence. Guide and direct them in their education and give them wisdom and understanding. Guide them to suitable employment. Guide and direct them to a partner in life's journey. Great God, do hear prayer, we humbly beseech thee, for thy great name's sake, that instead of our fathers shall be our children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. We pray, dear Lord, thy rich blessing to rest upon each and every one in the midst of the journey of life. We pray that thou wouldst guide us and direct us and teach us by thy good spirit, that thou wouldst deliver us from sin and evil and unrighteousness. And though sin lives in us, may we not live in sin, but may we live to him that died. May we be surrendered to the crucified one. May we be made more spiritually minded. May our affections be set upon things above and not on things of the earth. Great God, we do beseech you to hear us, to help us, to guide us and to direct us, and grant that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and that we may be more like him, that we may live unto him. But while our days on earth are lengthened, may we give them, Lord, to thee. Oh, do hear us for thy great namesake. We think of those words of exhortation. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Help us so to do. Help us to live to thee. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst guide us in every untrodden step. There may be those here, O Lord, that have those steps that they have to take, and perhaps they dread those steps. And we pray that thou wouldst help them to commit their way unto the Lord, and to trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Thou hast said in thy word, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, that we may be given that sweet intimation from thee, that thou dost care for us. O Lord, we do pray for those in the evening time of life's journey, and that we do pray that thou wouldst grant strength and help. And as the outward man perisheth, may the inward man be renewed day by day. Lord, we pray that the arms of thine everlasting love may surround thy people. And as they feel this mud-walled cottage shake, that may it please thee, Lord, to draw near to them and to graciously go before them. We do pray, dear Lord, for all in affliction and trouble and trial and perplexity and sorrow and sadness. For, Lord, many are the trials of thy people. Many are their downsittings. But, Lord, may there be those uprisings. Oh, do hear us, we humbly beseech thee. We beseech thee to draw near to us as we turn to the word of God, and that thou wouldst open the word of God to our heart and to our understanding, and lead us into thy truth, and grant that thy word may be a living word, may be a powerful word, may be a word of warning, may be a word of blessing, may be a word of direction, may be a word of strength, a word of help. Oh, do hear us, Lord. We humbly pray thee. We pray that there may be those hungry, thirsty souls that are here this evening, that long to hear the word of the Lord. Lord, we do beseech thee that thou wouldst remember thy Zion throughout the nations of the earth. Remember thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine upon the walls of Zion. And we pray thee, the great Lord of the harvest, to send true labourers into the harvest and to build the walls of Jerusalem. Oh, that thou wouldst return to Jerusalem with mercies and send out thy light and thy truth. Thou hast said in thy word, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, that shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Lord, enable us continually to speak and to set forth the glories of Christ, the wonders of redeeming love, the brevity of life and the solemnity of death, and the awful reality of eternal judgment. Hear us, O Lord, in heaven thy holy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. Come now, come and open one's mouth. Come and open our hearts. Come and open our ears. We ask with the forgiveness of all sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us continue our worship by singing together hymn number 494, on yonder glorious height, King Jesus does appear upon the judgment seat with millions at his bar. Behold, the awful judges come to fix their everlasting doom. Hymn 495. greatly feel you to need the Lord's gracious help, I would again direct your attention to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent that thou art a priest for ever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. This afternoon we sought to look at the first four verses of this psalm, and we notice the ascension, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord sending the rod of his strength out of Zion. He shall go forth conquering and to conquer. That is in the gospel of his grace, that is in the hearts of his people. The Lord reigns in Zion, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And then we notice the Lord making his people willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. We notice that Zion is the womb of the morning, the church of God, and the dew of the youth, how the dew of heaven rests upon him. And then this glorious and well-known word, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That glorious high priestly work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that such an high priest have we, who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The reason the apostle says that is because we have such an high priest sitting at the right hand of the Father. Or as John says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate, one that stands between, one that pleads our cause in heaven. What a great, wonderful blessing that is, to have a great high priest who's touched with the sympathy within, who knows our feeble frame, who knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. He will not change his mind. He will not turn back. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ, he set his face as a flint to save and to redeem and to deliver his people from the power and dominion of sin, from the power of Satan. He is almighty. He's able to save to the uttermost. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father, who has said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And here we see him in heaven, sitting at the Father's right hand, in that exalted place, in that elevated position as the great high priest and the advocate of his people. One of the hymn writers, he says, thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Obviously, much more could be said concerning Melchizedek. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. How that Melchizedek was without father and without mother. Without father and without mother. So was Christ. He was without mother according to his divine nature. He was without father according to his human nature. Without father, without mother. A priest forever, divinely ordained by the eternal Father. God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, the Son of his bosom, the Son of his love. He gave him. He gave him to redeem. It's a wonderful gift of God. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable because it's not possible to describe the beauties and glories and the loveliness of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we look into the Song of Solomon, and Solomon there under the divine influence and power of the Spirit in chapter 5, he describes some of the glories and loveliness of our Lord Jesus Christ. My beloved is white and ruddy. White because he's pure, because he's holy. Ruddy because he became a man, because he shed his precious blood. That whiteness and that ruddiness, the blood and the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the chiefest among 10,000. You take the glorious person of the holy God-man, and you was to put him among 10,000 of the glorious angels of heaven, he would stand out as the chiefest among 10,000. If you took 10,000 of the finest specimens of the sons of men upon this earth, and you put him there, put Christ there, and he stands out as the chiefest among 10,000. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the ending. I am he that was dead and am alive forevermore. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Forever. He's not a priest just for time. As the apostle says in the Hebrews, we read it this morning, he has the power of an endless life. He's a priest eternally, and eternally set there by the eternal Father, interceding for his people. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. All the stability there is in the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ upon this rock. This eternal rock of ages, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the Lord at thy right hand, we've already established from the first verse who this is, the holy God-man. I think Joseph Hart, the hymn writer, he puts it so beautifully in hymn number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. He said, 'tis no wild metaphor we speak. No, he's true almighty God. He's there eternally for his people. What a rock, isn't he? What stability is found. You will not find stability anywhere else but in this eternal rock of ages, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. The Lord at thy right hand. He's coming again. He's coming again to this earth. As it is appointed unto man once to die, so after death the judgment. You know, friends, there's a great emphasis there, much teaching there, once to die, but after death the judgment. We know the truth of that, every one of us. We know, and we know by the very fact of the evidence all around us that we're going to die. But that is absolutely certain. As it is appointed. Now, that is a divine appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die. It's appointed by God. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that there is a time to be born, there is a time to die. We read in the book of Job that the days of man upon earth, they are ordered and numbered by God. So there is a divine appointment that every single one of us here in this chapel tonight, that you're going to keep. You know, you may you have an appointment with your dentist, you may have an appointment with your doctor, whatever that appointment may be. But for some reason, something intervenes and you're not able to keep that appointment. But with this appointment, it is a divine appointment. You'll keep that appointment. It's divinely ordered of God. You're going to die. You might say, why? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sinner, you're going to die. Now, the emphasis is, just as we most certainly know that we are going to die, and it's a fact that stares every one of us in the face, then that is linked together. You can be assured that as you're going to die, so also you will stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us. We shall stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. To give account. There's a word that is often used among evangelical circles, and I disagree with it entirely. They speak of man's responsibility. Man's responsibility. It's a wrong word. It's not a scriptural word. What we have in the Holy Scriptures is a completely different word. Man's accountability. It's absolutely different to responsibility. The implication in that word is that there must be a response from you. It doesn't use that word in Holy Scripture. It uses account. It's like an accountant when he adds up his figures. He's got to make the figures tally. And it's exactly the person that dies, he comes before the judge of all the earth. And the books are opened. We read of it in the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation of the day of judgment. And we read there in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. I often emphasize, and I saw a great white throne, comma. And there was something more glorious that he saw and him that sat upon it. Who is it? It's Christ. It's the Holy God-man as he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, this second death. The first death is when we die here upon earth. The second death is when that awful sentence comes forth from the judge of all the earth. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. What a very solemn thought. What an awful reality is set before us here in the Word of God. You see, and we read earlier in that chapter 20 of the Revelation in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him. You see, my beloved friends, the first resurrection, what is it? What is the first resurrection? It's when a poor sinner is quickened into life by the Holy Ghost and they are brought from spiritual death into spiritual life. That is the first resurrection. And on such, the second death hath no power. And as our Lord Jesus Christ says, emphasizing, ye must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, my dear beloved friends, has the Lord quickened your soul into life? Have you been brought from spiritual death into spiritual life? Have you been born again of the Holy Ghost? Has the Holy Ghost entered into your heart, quickened your soul, given you to feel your lost condition and brought you to see that Jesus is the way to God? Jesus is the way to bliss. These are vital questions. One of the hymn writers, he says, am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head? These things, my beloved friends, are essential. They are essential to know Christ. We read in the Gospel according to John, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see, in him is life. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, but by me. You know, the other very clear scripture, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 25, he speaks there of the day of judgment, and he very graphically sets the day of judgment before us. We read in Matthew 25 verse 31, when the Son of Man. You know, these little words are very important. When the Son of Man. Not if. When. It's a divine certainty that the judge of all the earth will sit upon that throne. When the Son of Man shall come. It's not he could come. It's not maybe he'll come. He shall come. These are the divine shalls and wills of the eternal God. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them, one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. You know, we read in the prophet Joel, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And how many, well, we expect it from Arminian people, but you get it sometimes from people that proclaim that they are Calvinistic. And they will say, that's multitudes deciding for Christ, deciding to believe, deciding to follow Christ. That's absolute nonsense. It doesn't mean anywhere near what they're saying there. What we have there in the prophet Joel is the day of judgment. We have a court of law. And the judge sitting on the bench, who is none other than the glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In a court of law, when an accused person is arraigned before the judge, whose decision is it? Is it the criminal in the dock? Or is it the judge on the bench? You see, and that is the illustration we have. Multitudes, multitudes. It's the day of judgment. All the earth shall be gathered before the Lord Christ as he sits upon the throne of his glory to judge the world in righteousness. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Whose decision? None other than the glorious King of Kings. It's his decision. And that is what is set before us here. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. He will separate. What a dividing line that will be. And it's a final dividing line in that great day. He shall set the sheep. That's his chosen people. That's his people that were chosen before the foundation of the world. It's the people that the eternal Son of God came to redeem and to deliver. He suffered and he bled and he died for that people. And the Holy Spirit, who proceedeth forth from the Father and the Son, entered into each one of their hearts and quickened their soul into life and brought them to living faith in Jesus Christ. These are the sheep. It was divinely ordained that they would be redeemed. None shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. They are eternally safe in Christ. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. What side will you be on in that great day? Will you be on the left or will you be on the right? Because what an awful reality is set before us here by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Prepared. The apostle Peter, in his epistle, he says about being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. He says, to an inheritance incorruptible and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. They are eternally safe. They are a people that were chosen by our eternal heavenly Father, given to his Son in that sacred covenant ordered in all things and sure. His Son, in the fullness of time, we read of it in Galatians chapter 4, how that in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. He sent him to suffer, to bleed, and to die to redeem his people. He sent him to magnify and honour that holy righteous law that they had broken and dishonoured. His Son came to honour it and to fulfil it. I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And that is what Christ has done for his people. What you cannot do, what you could not do, what you never will be able to do, Jesus has done it. He's fulfilled that glorious, holy law of God, magnified it, honored it in his glorious person. We are instructed in the first epistle of John that sin is any transgression of the law of God. And what do we read of Jesus Christ? He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Is there something glorious and wonderful and beautiful in that holiness, in that perfection of our Lord Jesus Christ? The spotless, the holy, the righteous one. Spotless, innocent and pure, our great Redeemer stood, while Satan's fiery darts he bore, and did resist to blood. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, come, come. That won't be a strange word to them. My sheep know my voice. And when, in that great day, he speaks this glorious word, come ye blessed of my Father, it will send a thrill through the heart of the Lord's living family. Oh, come. There cannot be a more blessed, more glorious word to hear from the eternal God, from the Almighty God. Come, ye blessed of my Father. What a precious word, isn't it? It's one of the most beautiful and sacred words in Holy Scripture. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And then in that great day, to hear that same glorious voice, that same glorious Saviour say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, an inheritance incorruptible. You know, the Lord Jesus in John 14, those well-known words, he says unto them, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Precious words of grace. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. You know, my beloved friends, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Those that reach heaven have been born again by the Holy Ghost and brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. They are prepared. Are you being prepared? Or what are you being prepared for? Hell is a prepared place for an unprepared people. An unprepared people. It's a very solemn thought, isn't it? He continues here in Matthew 25. And he says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What a solemn thought, isn't it? Just as there cannot be a more glorious, sacred word to hear from the mouth of the judge of all the earth, come, so surely there cannot be a more awful, more dreadful word to hear from the eternal God, an eternal sentence, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, what a solemn thought that we have set before us here in the Word of God. in the beginning of Matthew 25, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. Those 10 virgins represent the professing church of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus, who tries the reins and the hearts of the children of men, he says that five were wise and five were foolish. They all made a profession. They had a lamp. They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They had the name of a Christian. That's what the lamp means. It's a profession of the Christian religion. They had a lamp, but they had no oil. That's the only difference between the wise and the foolish. What does oil represent? Grace. It represents the grace of God that bringeth salvation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The wise had the oil in their vessels. They had the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The foolish, they thought they did. You know, friends, there's more to religion just thinking. There really is. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. It makes me think, you know, the Lord, he speaks that solemn word unto the church at Sardis. And what a solemn word it is. It's a Christian church he's speaking to. Thou hast a name that thou livest and yet art dead. That's exactly describes the foolish virgins. They had a name, the name of Christ, that they lived in Christ, but they had no grace. The Holy Spirit had not entered their heart nor quickened their soul, and they had no faith, no living faith. They had an outward faith. There are many different sorts of faith. There's only one real faith, and that real faith is that which is given by the Holy Ghost, wrought in the heart by the Holy Ghost, that brings a poor, helpless, hopeless sinner to the feet of Jesus Christ and raises them to a hope in his finished redeeming work. That's a true hope. My dear beloved friends, these things are written for our instruction. In the book of Proverbs, we read two verses, a repetition. There's no vain repetition in Holy Scripture. When something is repeated, it's because it's emphasizing. And there's that solemn word. Thou hast a name, you see, that thou livest. Think of that word in the Proverbs. There is a way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. The end is death. Eternal damnation. And that's the foolish virgin. A way that seemed right, a way that looked right. They had the name of a Christian. They made the profession of a Christian, but they had no grace in their hearts. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While they tarried, they all, notice that, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. That's the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ. At midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, as Christ came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Be ye also ready, for at such a time as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And the door was shut. I remember very early in my ministry preaching from just that clause, and the door was shut. To the righteous, to those prepared, that's a most sacred word, they were shut into eternal glory. Secure and happy in eternal glory, in everlasting happiness. To the foolish, shut out forever. Shut out forever. Afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. You see, the thing is, they thought they knew the Lord. And how many people there are that think they know the Lord and that profess that they know the Lord. But the great thing is, does the Lord know you? That's the vital thing. Does the Lord know you? Has the Lord sent his Spirit into your heart? Has the Lord brought you down as a poor, wretched sinner before a holy God to confess your sins? Has the Lord raised you to a hope in the glorious person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ? Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. We read in other places of the teachings of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, how the Lord Jesus said, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, and I will say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. And they will protest and they will say, but we have cast out devils in thy name. We have wrought miracles in thy name. And he would say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, as we have in our text, it's the king coming in that second coming of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, that is prophesied throughout Scripture. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. What a separating word is the word of God. How separating are the words of Christ? They are. Or that the Lord will grant that we may take heed to these things. And that the Spirit of God may stir up your heart, your soul. You know, many times in the Word of God, my mind, just for the moment, it goes to the book of the Revelation and chapter 14. And we read there a revelation of Jesus Christ coming to judge the world in righteousness. We read of two harvests. We read of a wheat harvest and we read of a grape harvest. It's Christ coming to judgment. The wheat harvest is the church of God when he comes to reap. And he will do that first. We read in Holy Scripture that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we've read together in the Gospel according to Mark this evening hour, how that the very first thing that Christ will do when he comes to judgment, that he will send his angels to the four corners of the earth and he will gather his elect unto himself. That's the very first act of Christ when he comes to judgment. Here in the 14th chapter and the 14th verse, we read, and I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. It's where the common saying comes from, the grim reaper. That's where it comes from. It's Christ coming as a reaper. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. That is the reaping of the church of God. That is the first act of the coming Saviour. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth, that's the wicked, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. There's a very similar scripture to that that is found in Isaiah chapter 63. And in Isaiah 63, we have the same day of judgment that is set before us when Christ comes to judge the world in righteousness. I've actually heard some godly men expound this as being Christ coming to redeem his people. If you read the whole of the context, it is Christ coming a second time, without sin, unto salvation. Who is this that cometh from Eden with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? You see, it's the day of his wrath. It's not the day of salvation. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. Now this is how we see it's the day of judgment. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Same day. The day of vengeance on the wicked, the year of his redeem. It's the same day. It's the day when Christ comes to judge the world in righteousness. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger. You see, it's Christ coming to judgment. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drink in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. It's a very solemn things that are set before us in the Word of God, in the second coming of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. My mind, it just goes to the last chapter of Holy Scripture, the fourth chapter of Malachi, and the first two verses. And again, we have the same truth. The Saviour coming to redeem his people. The judge of all the earth coming to cast out and to tread down the wicked. And we read firstly of the wicked. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. What does that mean, leave them neither root nor branch? It's a complete and utter destruction. You know, we read in the book of Job, if a tree is cut down and the root is left in the ground, that at the scent of water, it will grow again. But here, they're left with nothing. It will never grow again. It's eternal punishment. It's eternal damnation, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. And then we go to the very next verse, and it's again Christ and his people. And unto you that fear my name, this same glorious day of judgment, and unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise, with healing in his wings. and he shall go forth, and ye shall grow forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. You see the great, the eternal day of judgment. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. Then this last verse. It often used to mystify me what this last verse meant, what it was. And, you know, I feel the Lord gave me a little light on it. He shall drink of the brook in the way. The Lord Jesus Christ was anointed with the Spirit without measure. And the Holy Spirit is portrayed constantly in Scripture as living water. Living water. And Christ was anointed with the Spirit without measure. And I believe that this is the meaning of this word. He shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. He will lift up his people. He will redeem his people. He did redeem his people. He passed through death to redeem his people. He rose from the grave. He ascended into glory. He has redeemed his people. He has made a new and a living way into the holy place. Well, friends, may the Lord grant that these few remarks, the Lord may seal them into our hearts, both as a word of encouragement, but also as a solemn word of warning. Be ye also ready, for at such a time as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us sing together hymn number 938, When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I, who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand? Hymn 938. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen. Let us now sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.